Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This is the show. It's the Thursday version of our show. We're glad that you're listening. Want to reach us? 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Your voice sounds rather sexy today. What's the deal?
I just decided to make it sound sexier than normal.
Did you go through puberty last night?
A little bit. I'm not all the way there, but I'm heading in the right direction. My wife had a sore throat over the weekend, and I said, enough of this. I'll take the sore throat. Thank you very much. So now I have it. Plus, I was yelling at my television a lot yesterday afternoon as the Cubs
were losing to the
Washington Nationals. They ran into a buzzsaw. This guy, Steven Strasburg, is one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Which the whole hat to him, huh?
But controversy, he wasn't going to pitch because of the mold spores and the air conditioning and a bad hotel, and then he was pitching.
I sent him, as a goodwill gesture, a box of that Fold You.
Fog You mold.
Fog You. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. I sent him a bunch of that. What's Fold You? That's for towels.
Or an origami book.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is. So, here's what I thought, because they said he probably won't pitch. Like for 24 hours, there was controversy. He might pitch. He might not pitch. He's sick. He's not feeling well. So I thought, oh, it'd be great if they pitched him and he wasn't feeling well.
Advantage
he'll be all
Cubs.
Loopy,
yeah.
You know? But then there are guys. Michael Jordan is the perfect example of this. Played a playoff game with 103 fever.
He had the flu.
And scored 400 points.
I know.
So some guys just have this level. It doesn't matter if they're sick or not. They almost play better sick. You couldn't have done better than him.
Because don't you think when you're sick, you push harder? Like on today's show, you're not feeling well, so you will push harder.
I won't. No, it takes.
Most people will push harder.
Sort of. Yeah. Most people would push harder, but I'm just going to cuddle up in a ball.
So while we were all making fun of him, he apparently was taking IVs and trying to get over this, and he came out and pitched.
A masterpiece.
A masterpiece.
So good that the Cubs threw two guys, not just one, but two. Jake Arrieta and John Lester both came out and were near flawless, and that wasn't enough.
Right. I thought Ron Darling had a great point where twice, once was Rizzo, was Addison Russell the other, when there was a 3-1 count, a hitter's count if ever there was one.
Yeah.
And those guys are faking bunt.
They squared off to bunt.
Just to try to get a walk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
He was unhittable. The ball was just moving in ways that physics doesn't understand.
It's such a weird series, you know? And then the miscues, the Addison Russell error, the errors before, the Schwarber thing. It's just been a weird series.
I'm sad for you Cubs fans. I know it's not over yet, and it's not unlike the Cubs to completely turn things around.
Exactly.
Because they're that kind of team.
There's that. When faced with elimination games... Last
all
year,
of a sudden,
they were flawless.
Yep.
All we need is a win.
All we need is a win. Cubs starter, Steve, help me with this. Their ERA is just below 4, correct? I mean, the series is tied 2-2, but it shows how good the pitching has been.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean to me?
I don't know where the number is, but
it's 0.4. All right, so that means.
They've been unhittable.
A 0.4 means that if one of their starters was to go a complete 9-inning game, they'd give up less than half a run.
Oh.
So that's amazing. And that's been all through the series. Their starters have been flawless. The eighth inning has been a huge problem for the Cubs all year long. I don't know what it is about the eighth inning. They just can't seem to get through it without giving up a bunch of runs.
Who's on the mound tonight, today?
Well, it looks...
The man in the yellow hat.
Is it our friend Kyle?
I think so.
Yeah?
All right.
Good.
The man in the yellow hat.
The man in the yellow hat.
So the best part of this playoff series, though... Is every time it starts to look bad for the Cubs,
yes,
they don't show a fan and say they've been waiting 100 years.
That's true.
You know, that stuff is not, you're not seeing that, which
that's
is
true.
Great.
I feel bad for the people of Cleveland. Here's why.
Yes.
Last year, they lead the World Series 3-1, and it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's not going to be handed to them, but you have to feel pretty confident up 3-1. Then this season, they're up on the Yankees 2-0 in a best-of-5 series. And again, you go, oh, nothing's that easy, but they should pull this off. One win out of the next three. Didn't happen.
And not only that, they had won 22 in a row, right?
Oh,
I mean,
they had an amazing
season.
The second half of the season is one of the best second halves of all time. So,
what are you going to do?
It's a crazy game, Wendy. It's America's pastime.
On any given Sunday. Wednesday.
Are Cubs fans nervous or are they hopeful?
I mean, both.
I'm not nervous.
You're
at
really,
all.
Truly not?
No. I mean, look, they're a good team. They're playing a good team. They're going to beat them or they're not.
Right.
Sound so zen right now. I don't know that I believe you.
But at some point you realize after following a game, Steve, I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I've been a baseball fan since I was 3. And at some point you realize, and it's just hitting me now, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
You know, you just, all you can do is watch and hope for the best.
All right. Well, there's nothing you can do about it. That's all about what anxiety is. You change the things you can control and don't worry about the other things, but that's really big of you to say that now.
I'm just now figuring out that no matter what I say or do, it's kind of up to them.
You used to, was it with the Hawks that you had to, whatever game you started watching, you had to stay on the same TV, that you still hold
to? That happened the other day. They scored a run. I went to the kitchen to get something. No, the Cubs.
Oh.
Was it in game two or game three? I don't remember. I went into the kitchen and they did something good, and I said, well, now I have to watch the rest of the game in the kitchen. I can't go watch it.
That's Jack Brickhouse's fault.
Why did you blame Brickhouse?
I have the same thing as a kid. You know, don't move. The rally's
right,
going.
Right. Yeah, let's blame it on Jack Brickhouse.
Right.
Hey, hey.
Poor Jack.
That was him with a sore throat.
Is he still smiling? Can you see his statue?
He's still smiling. Yeah, the statue's still smiling, but he looks a little nervous. It's impossible not to be nervous. Anytime you're in an elimination game, and that's what tonight is, you got to get a little nervous, but we're all hopeful. Confident would be nice. I'm right on the edge of confident.
This is what the team does, though, lately, is they right with their back up against the wall where you don't think they're going to pull it off. They do. So good luck to Cubs fans everywhere.
There will be 17 runs scored tonight.
Wouldn't that be something?
I mean, not by both teams, but...
You know what else is strange about baseball is almost always in both the playoffs and the World Series, you get an unlikely hero. Like yesterday, you could certainly make that argument for the center fielder for the Nationals. When you look at that lineup, you go, wow, there's no weak spot. Maybe the center fielder. And that's the guy who hits the grand slam in the eighth inning to put the game out of reach. You know, but almost always in the playoffs and then the World Series, some guy comes through that you wouldn't expect to come through and makes the difference. So who will that be on the Cubs tonight? Carmen Fanzone?
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale?
No one's expecting that.
That would be a shocker.
I don't know. Good luck. It's getting nervy around here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was pacing during the game. But then, like I said, you say to yourself, pacing doesn't matter. Nobody on the Cubs is going
to... Well, it makes you feel better.
I wonder if Bill's pacing. If he's moving around his living room nervous.
Try harder, guys. Bill's pacing.
Did Chris Bryant even foul a ball off yesterday, Steve?
I don't think so.
Did he what?
I don't think he fouled the ball off. He struck out four times.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, I played tennis last night, one of my friends said, what was that weird nickname they gave him? And I said, what nickname? And he goes, they called him like some Spanish nickname. And I go, oh, sombrero.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, they called him the sombrero. They didn't call him the sombrero. If you strike out four times in a game, that's called the golden sombrero.
Why?
I don't know why. I think because Pancho Villa was the first guy to ever strike out four times in a baseball game.
There are four corners to the sombrero. I don't understand that at all.
Sombrero looks like a zero if you look at it from above, I think. So
four maybe moves. That's why. Yeah, I never thought about why. I just accepted it.
The man in the yellow hat, I'm the Curious George today. I want to know why.
I have no idea why it's called that.
I never heard that used before.
Well, because it doesn't happen a lot. Luckily, it doesn't happen a lot. But, all right, so not only did he strike out four times, I don't remember him fouling a ball off. I just think he kept swinging and missing at everything.
The same pitch, right? Down a little low.
Yeah, a little break at the end. Yeah, tough. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. A little Harvey Weinstein talk, if you wouldn't mind. First of all, a joke about Harvey that's 4 years old has finally been explained. I'll set it up a little bit, and then we have the audio. Seth MacFarlane, years ago, hosted the nomination show. So early in the morning, about 5 weeks prior to the Academy Awards, they have this thing in Hollywood where usually an actor and actress announce who the five nominees are, or sometimes more, in each category for the Oscars. So he did a joke about Harvey Weinstein that got a little bit of laughter, but a little bit enough. You know, I guess it was a successful joke, and nobody really understood it until now. So let's play this. This is from 4 years ago, Seth MacFarlane at the Oscar nomination morning ceremony.
The 2012 nominees for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role are Sally Field in Lincoln, Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables, Jackie Weaver in Silver Linings Playbook, Helen Hunt in The Sessions, and Amy Adams in The Master. Congratulations, you five ladies no longer have to pretend to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Now, the laughter you heard there was because everybody in Hollywood has certainly heard of him and knows who he is.
And he's not a good looker. Come on.
I'll be honest. That absolutely plays into it. That does play into it.
I would have laughed at that just because.
Right. It was so absurd.
Yeah.
Right? It was reminiscent of a joke that was told on 30 Rock about Bill Cosby years and years before anybody suspected Bill Cosby of being anything but America's favorite TV dad. And I remember watching that night on 30 Rock and laughing, going, that's so funny that they'd pick Bill Cosby for this weird joke because he's the last guy in the world that would do anything below the belt. He's like the nicest guy in the world. That's funny.
But then we find out, the belt.
You know what I mean? But then we find out that there's some method to the madness, you know? I also remember on Entourage, they had a character for a while that he was the embodiment of Harvey Weinstein. He was like a Hollywood power broker who appeared to be a nice guy, but really wasn't a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time going, well, these guys wouldn't be taking a shot at him. Why would they do that? There's no bad blood about Harvey Weinstein. That'd be ridiculous for them to take a shot at him.
But see, when these things surface, then obviously people knew about it.
I think so, too.
Because you don't just absurdly say something like that.
Right.
Unless, because, you know, you've been a stand-up comic. You are funny as hell.
Thank you.
There is always reality based in your joke.
Yeah, right. So you throw it out there and you go, it works on two levels,
right.
Hopefully. The people who get it will really get it. And the people who don't will go, oh, that's interesting that they picked an obscure name like Harvey Weinstein for Seth MacFarlane's joke a bunch of years ago. But now it's starting to pay off.
And Rose McGowan has her Twitter account has been suspended because she keeps tweeting things. Why don't they suspend someone else's Twitter account?
I don't know the answer to that. Now, may I share with you a letter? I will not use this person's name. It's somebody who I've known for several years. And all I can say about this person, again, I will not say their name. And it's a name that I don't think people would know anyway, but he prefers that we not say his name, so I won't. He has worked with Harvey in the past. He sent me this letter. He heard us talking about him yesterday. It starts out with some things that aren't pertinent to the story, but then he says, I was given the speech on day one when I worked with Harvey on what to expect. When you work for him, you know what you're getting yourself into. It's kind of like being coached by Bobby Knight. There's not a lot of hugs. There's not a lot of care packages, but the opportunity is immense. It doesn't excuse his behavior, but this is Hollywood. It's an industry based on sex and drugs and making believe. Entourage, Ballers, and dozens of other shows celebrate the excess and the fantasy that is Hollywood, yet we're surprised when it actually happens. None of us should be that naive. If he reaches down to give you a shot, you jump through hoops to make sure that he is happy, which is what I did, and countless actors and directors and crew also did. I worked my butt off. My team also worked their butt off to get that shot from Harvey Weinstein. A point to remember, he was fired by his own company. Well, he owns that company. This is Hollywood special effects. He'll be quiet for a while, and then he'll be back. There's no chance of him doing a late-night podcast quite yet. Much like Mel Gibson as your model a few years back, Mel Gibson was as dead as it gets, but now he's back and all's forgiven, or at least forgotten, as long as he draws in box office numbers. I thought that about the company, too. He and his brother co-own this company. So it would take a lot to physically force him out of his own company. It's one of those situations where he could be pulling the strings from behind the scenes and say, oh, yeah, I'm not involved, when in reality, anytime a big move needs to be made, they call him and say, do we want to make this deal? Do we want to do this? Do we want to do that?
Also, I mean, the brother you'd think would be aware of this. I don't know.
I want to believe you're right.
But we don't know that.
But as the numbers much, I mean, we keep comparing this to Bill Cosby because it's similar. It really is. If it's one or two, that's inexcusable.
Right.
And you go, even though it's inexcusable, it's very possible this guy did this once or twice and not enough people knew. And sadly, that's why it was buried. But every day there's more and more and more people coming forward saying he did this to me. He did this to me. There's no way in the world he could have been the only person who was aware of this. It's impossible.
And did I read something, and I'm unclear on this, so forgive me, because I tool around the internet and sometimes absorb things and sometimes not, that Harvey's brother kind of released this information knowing that Ronan Farrow's report was going to come out. So he wanted to kind of finesse it a little bit.
Interesting. But that didn't work.
No.
I don't think it worked at all. Can I tell you another what I think is a very interesting angle to this? All right. So now a lot of women are coming forward, predominantly actresses, but others as well. And a few actors have come forward, not about him, but about other Hollywood moguls. Terry Crews, who's on Andy Samberg's show.
Oh, cops. Yeah.
Brooklyn 9-1-1.
Brooklyn 9, yeah. He has come forward. James Vanderbeek last night said that he has had some horrible instances revolving high-powered Hollywood types who have touched him inappropriately. So it's not just women. It's guys as well. And I'll make this prediction. Even though Harvey Weinstein is getting a lot of attention right now, I think in the next few weeks or months, more and more names of other high-powered Hollywood types are gonna be exposed. Don't you think? There's no way in the world it's just him.
I agree with you, sadly.
And it's not just the movie industry either. It's got to be other industries too.
Yeah, but Hollywood, I would think that it lends itself to it.
I think it does.
It's not that it's sad, right?
No, it's the exact opposite of right. But you see that trade of I have to give this up to get famous, to get rich. So this is one of the things I need to give up. There's no way in the world it should be that way. But I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think it's going to get uglier before it gets better.
Well, and Hollywood has not been faring well at the box office recently. Now, all of a sudden, there's going to be this giant lid blown off of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a bunch more shows. So stay here. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's never too early to spread goodwill. Come on out and join us for a live broadcast at Tree Time Christmas Creations in Lake Barrington on Friday, October 20th, a week from tomorrow, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
It's already a week away?
Yeah.
Oh, my good golly. We're going to be broadcasting our show live from 10 a.m. to noon. Plus, you'll hear our stream bonus hour live from noon to 1, and that's where Bill F. is unleashed. So you've got to come out for that.
I will not have a leash. Donate your gently used artificial Christmas trees for Goodwill. You're going to get $75 off select new Tree Time trees, which are just stunning. Goodwill and Tree Time are collecting tree donations at our broadcast and all this October. By donating a tree, you'll make the holidays brighter for another family, and you'll also help Goodwill provide training and jobs for people in your community.
Please come out. If you've never been to Tree Time, you will absolutely love it. It's like you're walking into Santa's playland. And you get the bonus of seeing us and the bonus hour. It's all happening at Tree Time, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington, a week from tomorrow, Friday, October 20th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visit WGNradio.com/events for details. It's all sponsored by Goodwill and, of course, Tree Time.
Of course.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I don't know even where to begin with all of this. I want to start by saying I love funny women, and Gilda Radner was one of the funniest women I've ever seen.
Sure.
Then I want to throw in that cancer is everywhere and we don't want it to be. And Gilda's Club Chicago basically supports anyone living with cancer, men, women, teens, children, along with their families and friends. And those of us who have lost someone to cancer, and the CEO of Gilda's Club Chicago, Laura Jane Hyde, is in the studio with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Laura Jane and I ran into each other when I received one of my many awards.
Which award was this, Wendy? You've won a lot lately.
This was the Impresa Award from the Joint Civic Committee of Italian Americans.
Yep.
And you were there to support a friend of yours.
Yes. And I got to meet you. So I have a new friend.
And that's when we talked. Who was your friend who was nominated?
Lissa Chrisman, yeah.
Lissa Chrisman. A bunch of nice Italian-American women that were given awards.
Wendy said during her speech they were throwing mustacholi. Is that true or not true? Did she make that up?
I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
All right, that's fine. Understood.
Toni Jannetty, who wrote, she was the sports writer for the Sun-Times for a million years, covered both the White Sox and the Cubs.
Yeah.
It was an honor to meet her. Just a lot of great Italian-American women who won this award.
Very nice.
I'm trying to set you up with the Russian-American
women.
Women.
Why would I win that award? I
don't
win
know.
That award.
So Laura Jane and I started talking about the Night of a Thousand Noogies, and time-wise, it all worked out. So this is the 19th?
Yes, yes.
My God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Explain what this whole night is.
It's a night of hilarity for a good cause. Okay, so we've got the Second City, which is has been a fabulous partner of Gildas Club since we started. Mm-hmm. And then we have Chicago Notables on stage. And Second City, it's all about fun. It's not about making fun of anybody or right. mean-spirited. It's about listening to an interview with these celebrities. And then Second City breaks into humor and skits and music. And it's just a really, really fun night. We've had celebrities that have been kind of, well, we're not sure. And they come and they have a great time. And then they refer celebrities to the next year's event. So
someone you may know, I believe WGN Steve Cochran is involved.
You may have heard of him. Yes. Yeah, he's fabulous. He is such a great guy. I mean, this station, you guys have just the best talent in the city.
That's very nice of you.
Well, it's true.
Have you
Thank
said
you.
That at other stations you've visited?
No, this is the only station that'll have me on.
Oh, how about that? Good.
Now, you went to Second City.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Never
it's
did.
Hard.
I believe it's hard. Yeah. And adults, there are classes for kids and adults and grandparents and anyone.
Yeah, it's a great skill. And when we do improv at the club, and so it helps our members kind of forget about what they're going through and focus on humor and focus on all the tenets of improv.
Right.
So, you know, yes and. Right, the minute you say no, you shut down an idea, you shut down a person. If you say yes and, you can build on that. And it helps reduce stress. And we know stress is bad for anyone, let alone somebody that's been diagnosed or supporting a loved one with cancer.
The tie-in, I hope, is obvious. Gilda Radner got her start at Second City in Toronto, and then from there, the Saturday Night Live and Fame and Fortune.
Yes, so and Noogies, right?
Yes.
The Noogies that she
that's
and Bill Murray.
From Lisa Lubner.
Todd!
Yeah. That was a great sketch. It really was.
Did you ever get to meet either her or her husband, Gene Wilder?
No.
You never got to meet either of them?
I got to meet Mel Brooks when we did the benefit performance of The Producers.
Really? So, what was that like?
Well, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he just is, you know, one
maybe
of the
best storyteller we have alive today.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I agree. Absolutely.
He's so good.
I completely forgot about Gilda and Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
I completely did. What an unbelievable match. And now they're together again.
Yeah. With
pretty
a lot
sad.
Of great people.
So how did this start then? Obviously, Gilda, I believe she had ovarian cancer.
She had ovarian cancer. And we actually got started as a result of the Princess Diana visit to Chicago in 1996. So Gilda's Club New York, which was just called Gilda's Club at the time, was the beneficiary. Anne Lurie, who was one of the most philanthropic people in the world, let alone in the city, was at this benefit and heard about Gilda's Club and said, why don't we have this type of support for people in Chicago? And 18 months later, the club opened, and next year we celebrate our 20th anniversary.
That's fantastic.
It really is it's an amazing story.
We always hear on the periphery that the word cancer, which once was a death sentence, is no longer a death sentence. You finding that to be true?
Absolutely. And so with that comes all of the issues that survivors face, right? They go through this incredible regimen that keeps them alive. And then what are those residual effects of the treatment on the different organs? And just the fact of thinking that we go through the day, right, not thinking about our death.
Sure.
We have to. But when you come that close to facing your own mortality, it changes your life in so many ways. And it changes the lives of those that love you and care about you. And so we see that. And we see the need to continue to provide support. So, you know, please let the medical community find a cure tomorrow.
Yeah.
The need of survivors and newly diagnosed will continue to remain. And that's why we work so hard to keep our doors open. Everything that we provide is completely free of charge to our members. And we do over 300 programs a month.
Wow. Explain some of the programs, because there may be someone listening who needs some help.
And hopefully they'll call. Hopefully everyone that's listening that doesn't know about the club will call me for a tour, because that's what it's all about. So we offer groups, we offer lectures, we have workshops, we have mind-body activities. We go into the community and do programming in the hospitals, in the schools, in the churches, in the businesses. It's really about being wherever anyone is and providing the type of support that they need. So some people seek information. Some people want to talk about their experience. Some people just want to be in a room doing art or yoga or making jewelry with other people that know what they're going through, and they don't have to explain why they
That's
don't
a
have
good
hair.
Point, you know, because they're all in the same boat, and you don't have to go through it all and explain. I guess that takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's also a topic that some people don't, you know, aren't comfortable talking about. So when you're with people that understand, the caregiver as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you can still be mad at your spouse because they're not picking up their socks, but you don't want to be mad at your spouse because they're going through treatment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
I always think this about Walt Disney, the fact that he created Disney World, but he never was alive to see it. I think the same of Gilda Radner. It's so tragic that she's not around to see her legacy and the people who are benefiting. What do you think she'd make of all this?
Oh, my gosh. I think that she would be as proud of this legacy as she would be of her comedic legacy because this lives on and on and on.
Yeah.
Gilda's Club Chicago, completely nonprofit organization, so they rely on donations and Night of a Thousand Noogies, events like this to raise money. If people, when is it, first of all?
It's this Saturday.
Holy moly. This is
it's fairly soon, Wendy.
Park West, great location.
Yeah.
Hopefully no Cubs game. Because they don't know.
Right.
Hopefully the Cubs on their way to the playoffs.
That's the way,
and World Series don't have a game that night.
That's the right way to say it.
Anthony Rizzo is very supportive of Gilda's Club, as is the Cubs organization.
We just had somebody in from Anthony's charity about a week or so ago, and he just doesn't stop. I mean, he's so amazing when it comes to this.
And we're really fortunate because all the sports teams support Gilda's Club. So I like to think of us as, you know, the neutral base for anybody that wants to support people diagnosed living with cancer.
Do me a favor. I asked you this off air, but I want people to know it too. There was talk of a name change a couple of years ago.
Yes.
They wouldn't be calling it Gilda's Club, but what went on there exactly?
Well, we had one of our affiliates who thought that no one knew who Gilda was anymore. And instead of using it as a teachable moment, right, and introducing people to her incredible comedic legacy, they decided that they were going to change their name to our parent organization, which is Cancer Support Community.
Yeah.
And there was, let's just say, groundswell. That's probably more appropriate for the radio in terms of the reaction to changing the name. NBC, the network, misinterpreted the information and said everyone was changing their name. And so it gave us the opportunity to get in front of it and educate people and also create the dynamic where we'll never be forced to change our name.
Yeah. Oh, that's good news.
And for those people who don't know who Gilda Radner is, Google it and you'll watch one thing and you'll be hooked.
Yeah. And you'll be hysterically laughing. Yeah.
I don't know if you'll remember this, but Alan Zweibel, who was a writer for Saturday Night Live. Yes.
Yeah.
He, a writer, and had quite a relationship with her over the years, both professional and personal. And he wrote some jokes for her. She was on a Gary Shandling show, an episode of It's Gary Shandling, where she talked about the cancer very openly in a very funny way. And I said to him, I don't know how you guys pulled that off. And he said, we were nervous constantly because it was so was so true to the moment, but it was so good and so funny.
Yeah. Gilda, where have you been? Oh, Gary, I had cancer. What have you been up to?
Yeah.
I mean, I see that clip on a regular basis.
But that was so instrumental in letting people, I mean, that was the beginning of it, but that really started people's conversation about cancer.
Right. When she was on the Life cover.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in her suspenders and short hair. Yeah, I mean, she opened up a whole new world for people to talk about something that they were so afraid of. If she could do it, I mean, men wanted to date her, women wanted to be her best friend.
Yep.
I mean, she was universally loved. Yeah. If she could talk about it, others could too.
It's all happening on October 14th. That's Saturday?
It's Saturday.
I can't believe, where has this summer gone? Saturday, October 14th, it's at the Park West. It's Night of a Thousand Noogies. It is their 19th year to benefit, of course, Gilda's Club Chicago. And the website to send people for more info or tickets?
GildasClubChicago.org.
Laura Jane Hyde, CEO of Gilda's Club Chicago. Thanks for all the great work you do. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for your support.
We'll see you the next time Wendy wins an award, probably.
Oh, tomorrow.
Probably tomorrow. Yep. So true. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You know what my favorite thing is when you're surprised by the date. Like we were just saying, something's happening this Saturday. And you go, October 15th? That's Saturday. Like I've seen you do that before when you realize that it's a certain date. You're always amazed.
Well, I have anticipatory anxiety.
I know you do. Probably the biggest case of it in the history of the planet.
Bertrand says he has it a little bit too.
To some extent. Not like you have it.
I know. And I always enjoy what it is I'm doing. It's just the apprehension... I mean, when I worked in rock radio and I would get up on stage to introduce like big acts like the Moody Blues or something like that, I would be so nervous and kind of sick to my stomach. But like the minute I got up there and said, "How's everybody doing?" I was
then you're
fine.
All right. Right. It's just what precedes it. It scares you.
That's what anxiety is, worrying about what hasn't happened yet. But
why does the date always throw you for a loop? Anytime I'll because go, that's going to happen November 4th. And you go, November, well, that's in 3 weeks. Like, whatever it is, you're amazed that it's coming.
Because our parents told us when we were younger, mainly my grandparents would say this, Wendy, you know, enjoy every day because when you get older, time flies so quickly. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know how long the school week is?
Right.
But it really does go quickly. The same thing happened this morning when we were talking about being out at Tree Time on October 20th. I go, that's coming up a couple weeks. You're like, no, it's a week from tomorrow.
Right. And again, you were amazed by that. How can it be? You know what it reminds me of? Now, I'll date the story by saying it takes place in a Dominick's, so you know it's at least 2 years old,
right?
There was a lady who was a cashier in the Dominick's that my wife and I used to go to, and we'd always pick her lane because she was very pleasant, a very nice lady, so we saw her about once a week. And anytime anybody would be writing a check and they'd say, what's the date? And no matter what the date was, she would say the date and she'd go, it's February 4th. Can you believe it? Like whatever the date was, she would always end it by saying, can you believe it? Like there was no date, much like yourself, that didn't shock her.
I just can't believe how quickly time flies because we started talking about this Tree Time Christmas Creations live event months ago. I mean, several
3 months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it's upon us and it's happening in Lake Barrington on Friday, October 20th. We're going to do our show, our usual regular radio show, 10 a.m. to noon.
And then it gets crazy, doesn't it?
Well, no one's ever witnessed the visual of the live stream, the stream of consciousness, the Bill Leff Unleashed hour that we do on the stream.
Right.
So
it's not for public consumption, but it will be a week from Friday. Can you believe it?
Shut up. I mean, you know, I love you to death, but you're not feeling well today. And I offered to go get you tea.
That was nice of
you. I would do anything you want. And all
you
do is make
fun of me. I'm just pointing out something that I've been a witness to many, many times. In that you're always amazed at whatever day it is. Can you believe it's Monday? Can you believe it's Thursday?
It's called enthusiasm.
It always throws you.
Would you rather blah?
No. Is it Thursday?
Yeah. Steve, it's Thursday.
It is?
What? When did that happen? Seems like only yesterday was Wednesday, and now it's Thursday.
What, you got to pile on, Steve?
No.
No, I was trying to offer support. I was trying to
That's what support looks like?
Yeah. I was being like you. Oh, hey, it's October.
Yeah.
See, me too, Wendy.
That's very optimistic.
Yeah, I get it.
How many days till Christmas? You probably know that.
It's a sense of wonderment. You know what's weird is this year I haven't done that for some reason. Usually I almost always do know.
You are growing up.
And this year, for reasons I don't understand, like normally if you'd ask me that, I would know it in a second. I don't know why this year. I just don't. All right, you know who's coming by, Wendy, the excitable boy, David Hochberg. He's got some stories to share, so stick around. Hochberg is next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We have the excitable boy, and I think we forgot to tell Jasmine, our new producer, that we have a theme.
He demands a certain type of
That's
music.
That's all right.
That's all right.
We'll get
He'll
it next
right.
time.
Well, this is a good one, too. Yeah. I fought the law on the law one.
David Hochberg is here, Vice President of Lending for Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L, Pearl Mortgage. How are you, David?
I'm fantastic. I'm unbelievably great.
That's
Perk up a little, David. Come on. Do something. How are things? What do we need to know?
You need to know that the Fed is talking about increasing short-term interest rates another quarter of a point.
How many increases have
this
happened?
This will be, I believe, the third increase this year. And that
really?
Would be, a quarter of a point, $100,000 line of credit, which is what we're seeing the typical balance on a line of credit is, because everybody took it out 7 to 10 years ago and kind of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And now 10 years later, it's coming due or ballooning. Or it's turning into a fully amortized payment, which in the payment's going to quadruple. Oh. And they're like starting to freak out now. So the people that have a couple of years left, a quarter point increase on a $100,000 line of credit is only like $21 a month.
So that's a quarter point.
It's a quarter point. So it's $200-some a year, right? It's no big deal. $220 a year. You know, it's manageable. But three of them, you know, now you're over $700 a year. and it's $60 a month. So it starts impacting your cash flow on a monthly basis, your disposable income, and it starts hurting. Okay, $60 a month is a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Okay, $60 a month is a private lesson for whatever your kid is involved with that you need to have a private lesson for. You know, $60 a month could be the payment on the tires that you needed because you had to take out tires on an installment loan because you didn't have $300, $400, $500 to pay for the tires when they blew up or you needed new tires.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's now starting to get meaningful and it's starting to impact people's budgets. So it's something to be aware of.
We went a long, long time without any rate increase.
You went like 10 years without any rate increase.
Now we've had three in a short span of time.
Right.
But really, it's a series of checks and balances
sure.
in that it means that things are good with the economy or economy, they wouldn't do it.
Economy is turning around and the Fed feels that they could loosen up or tighten up the monetary policy, which means things are turning around the economy. So it's a positive. It's a negative if you have a lot of money out on your line of credit. So it's a double whammy, you know, for people because listen, if you've had $100,000 on a line of credit, $300 a month, $330 a month, it's no big deal. Now you're going to be close, if they raise it again, close to $400 a month, and it starts making a major impact.
It all starts adding up.
It starts adding up, right. You know, you just have to be aware of it. Okay, I woke up to that this morning on CNBC. So just, you know, just be aware of it. If they're talking about it, most likely it's coming.
All right. And, you know, we've all been in this position, especially in radio. I lost my job 6 months later. My husband lost his job.
Yep.
And this is happening to people a lot. What can they do?
Yeah, I was there for that. If you remember that. That was a horrible time for a lot of people. 2007, 2008 wiped out a lot of people.
Yep.
Talked to one of your listeners just this past week on Monday, Tuesday. She lost her job. A couple of weeks later, her husband lost his job. So
that is the worst.
It's the worst. It's the worst feeling. I mean, you're falling out of a plane without a parachute, and here comes the ground. You don't know what to do. So what do? You whip out your credit cards and you start paying for stuff, and you start financing your monthly expenses. Food,
everything, grocery,
medical, food, car, at 18 to 27%, and then. You know, thank God they're both on their feet right now and they're listening right now. And next thing you know, you got $45,000 on your credit card. Okay, that $45,000 on your credit card with the 4% monthly payments over $1,600 a month. So they live in an area that has stabilized. They only owe about $130,000 on their home, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
They have great jobs, full-time W-2 job security. He's been on the job 5-6 years. She's been on the job 3-4 years. They're finally in a position. They live in a $330,000 home, plenty of equity in their home. So what we're doing is we're doing a cash out refinance. We're going to roll the $40,000 into their mortgage. We're going to combine
the credit card debt.
We're going to combine all their debt into their mortgage, save them. Guess how much?
I don't know. You're amazing with numbers.
$750 a month.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what that I knew that was off the top of your head. Yeah. Well, you would have been right. Mm-hmm. And we're giving them a credit for all their closing costs. And we're going to have them completely wiped out of their debt situation by Thanksgiving.
Wow.
All right, if this happens to someone, they panic. They start charging things. They wait to call to do something, but you shouldn't wait.
You shouldn't wait. Well, you know, what happened was you become paralyzed, right? You just don't think that you could get out of it. And now that the property values have stopped going down and have rebounded and gone up, you know, it's just a phone call. You know, all this lady did was send me an email, and I happened to be free at the time, so I called her right back, and she almost fell out of her chair because, you know, it was me. I'm like, well, you got to raise your bar a little higher there, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. It's really not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we walked through it. It was a little challenging situation. She was a cosigner on her mom's loan, so we figured something out there. And long and short of it is we're going to save them over $8,000, $9,000 a year cash flow. They're going to increase their credit scores. Her credit's a little damaged because of all the debt that she's carrying, right? So he's like 690, 690, 680, and she's like 670, 650, 680. So by the time we pay off all the debt, he'll be in the 700s. By the time we pay off all her debts, hopefully she'll be in the high 600s. They have a ton of equity there. And then we'll take a look at refinancing them again 180 days down the road. Don't know where rates are going to be. But, you know, hopefully maybe we could get them into something better at that time.
David, what do you think about this? Some banks offer, now not all banks, but some offer this option. If you lose your job, you can contact the bank and let them know. And they'll push three payments, up to three payments, to the end of your loan.
Forbearance.
It's called forbearance.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
You've got to call them.
Yeah.
You've got to call them, and it's usually like pulling teeth to get it, right? You have to show
worth the phone call.
It's worth the phone call, right? You know, you have to typically show a hardship,
yeah,
right? Some type of employment hardship, you know, some type of economic hardship.
Right.
It could be you have a sick family member,
yeah,
that has got, you know, medical bills. We just had a horrific thing happen in our neighborhood. You know, one of my wife's, our friend's kids has, you know, he came down with cancer. So you talk about throwing a curveball,
yeah,
in your life. There's a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of medical expenses on top of worrying about your kid and functioning that way.
Sure.
And then still going to work and taking care of the other kids that you've got and having a normal life. You're taking care of your child that, you know, 2 weeks ago had a stomach ache and now she's got cancer.
Jeez.
Okay. And, you know, the stomach ache was cancer. So life could throw you a curveball at any second.
And right? It does.
And it does every single day. And that paralyzation that people have, it just paralyzed them.
I've been in that position.
Right. And that look that you get on your face, and I've seen that look on your face, and Jimmy sat next to you holding your hand. While
you don't know what to do.
You don't know what to do. You feel that it's hopeless. And it might be hopeless, but it's definitely hopeless if you don't pick up the phone and give me a call to see if we could do something. Okay? So if you want to take a break, we'll jump out of a break. But we also have a great doctor's program that we're rolling out at Pearl Mortgage. 100% financing with a minimum credit score of 700s.
For doctors?
Only for doctors. It's a special doctor's program because the doctors are graduating with $200,000-$400,000
yeah,
worth of student loans.
Yeah.
If the student loan's deferred for more than 12 months,
yeah,
we don't have to count the student loan payment.
Wow.
It's a great program. Veterinarians, dentists, doctors, ophthalmologists.
What about Dr. Dre?
Him too?
He's a rapper.
Yes. Right. And I don't think he needs it.
He doesn't
probably
need
pay
it
for cash.
Yeah.
And while we're there, hopefully we get a free set of headsets. How about that? Yeah, but it's a great program for doctors. So if you're listening out there and your kids are graduating and they're going to be doctors and they're loaded with student loan debts, we have a program at Pearl Mortgage. 100% financing, which means no money down, no PMI. Call me for more information. We just launched it. It's a phenomenal program.
David Hochberg's here. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy. That feels right. That's better. David Hochberg's here from Pearl Mortgage. He's here to help you. 312-981-7200 with any questions or comments.
But I can't help if you don't call.
Right. And you mentioned something about a doctor's program. So if someone is listening and they are a doctor, or someone's listening who has a kid going to medical school,
right,
how do they reach you to find out more about this?
And here are the different categories. It has to be MD, DO, DDS, or DMD degree and an employment contract of verifications. Medical doctors include dentists, podiatrists, ophthalmologists are permitted. Veterinarians are also permitted. This program is not available, unfortunately, to chiropractors. So if you want more information, 312-751-1333. There are a bunch of qualifications that you have to meet, which are not too stringent or difficult. 312-751-1333.
Why would they leave out chiropractors, David?
Bill, I just, you would have to talk to the lender.
All right, I will.
Are they
a medical doctor?
I don't want to get into a debate.
We do a lot of
chiropractors loans. I don't need to get them upset.
All right, that's fine.
All right, but you mentioned, the student loans coming from someone going to medical school.
Yeah.
Pretty much any kid going to college today is going to have a huge amount of student loans. So how are they getting a house?
Co-signing. 30% of first-time homebuyers, according to a recent report, are buying them with co-signers, which means somebody else is going on with them and their income is being brought into the mix in order to get that person to qualify for a loan. 30%.
Is this an all-time high?
It's nearing an all-time high,
yeah,
of first-time homebuyers. You've got kids graduating colleges today with minimum 40 to, we just saw one, $250,000 with
God.
The student loan debt.
Yeah.
And these student loans are usually anywhere from 4 to 7, 8, 9%, and they're amortized, which means they have to be paid back in 10 years.
Yeah.
So if I gave out a loan like that, it would be a usury loan. It would be a high interest rate loan. And, you know, I'd have to jump through 15 different hoops to make sure they qualified for that.
Yeah.
The federal government's just giving this money out like lollipops through a drive-through to these kids, and they're graduating. They don't realize that, hey, when you graduate, that $200,000 amortized over 10 years at 7% is going to be like $3,000 a month.
That's their house.
That's their pay. Well, that's their take-home pay. That's why they can't afford to buy. If you're making $40,000 to $42,000 a year at a college, you're going to clear about 3 G's a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after all the taxes and everything, guess what? It's going to student loan payments. So what are the parents doing? Okay, the parents are co-signing with the kids because the parents, you know, want to get their mojo on. You know, they don't want these kids back into their homes
anymore. Isn't it cheaper to let them live in the basement?
No, it's cheaper to let them live in the basement, but a lot of their parents have moved out of the house and have downsized.
Smaller places, yeah.
And they don't have the room, you know, to have a 26, 27-year-old rolling back in and living there for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So what they do is they are using their income and their money and their assets to use for a down payment to help them qualify to buy for a home.
Right.
And boom, they buy a home. So right or wrong, you can make your own decision. I'm just saying, if you're part of the 30% and little Sally or Johnny don't make a mortgage payment, you're getting kicked right in the teeth with a late mortgage payment. And don't give me any of that crap. You didn't know about it. You're on the note. You're on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's great if they're making it. When they stop making it, you're going down with the ship.
He's David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. You can reach him at WGNDavid.com or the number to call, 312-751-1333.
That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in case I haven't said that in the past.
All right. Robert has been on hold since before you even got in the studio. So, Robert, let's take your call. David Hochberg.
What's up, Robert?
Yes. I am really ecstatic today. I've been working on something that will conserve about $375 to $385 a month in terms of expenses.
Okay.
That said, I own my own home. My wife and I want to refurbish our kitchen.
Okay.
And I want to know what form of lending, given that windfall of cash I'm going to be having on a month-to-month basis, what is the best way to go?
How much do you
want to take a home equity loan on my existing home?
How much do you need to redo your kitchen?
We're probably talking about close to $90,000.
Okay, 90 grand. So it's going to turn out to be 100 grand because when I've done about four or five kitchens and they never come in on budget. If you don't want a home equity line of credit, which would be the cheapest way to go, right? You get a line of credit with my team, with my friends over at First Midwest Bank, Anna Juarez, Sarah Albright, and Derek down there in the Plainfield Mantino office down there. They'll give you a line of credit for free up if you qualify against your home, and you use that and you pay it back. If you don't want to go with the line of credit route, then the easiest way to go is to just pull out $100,000 against your house. The monthly mortgage payment will be right around $510 a month. And if you go with the 30-year fixed loan, and you could double up the payment. So basically almost all the money that you are saving doing whatever you did to save your $375 to $385 bucks could go towards the mortgage. And if you have extra money because you're don't have any mortgage payments, you could just double up the payment and pay it off faster.
How long would be the mortgage? You said 30?
It could be 30, it could be 15, it could be 20, it could be whatever you want. You know,
it's all about the payment.
It's all about the payment. I'd rather go, I always recommend people go with the 30, pay it off faster, instead of being tied with a shorter term loan. Because whenever we put people into shorter term loans, most times they call us back and say we had an economic situation, a challenge that we can't afford the 15 year anymore. We need to bounce it out and take money out. So mm-hmm. I'd much rather put people into 30s, just my preference. You can do what you want. And then just pay an extra $100, $200 a month to pay it off faster when you have the money. And if you have an economic challenge that pops up unexpected, you can back out the payment and go with a lower payment, but always have that lower payment as an option.
Good luck, Robert.
You're going to have a lot more people in my situation.
Yeah.
My son is in the insurance business, and he's been looking at this for the last few weeks, knowing that there was an executive order coming allowing people to buy medical insurance across state lines.
Okay.
Just that one change alone, just that one thing alone, is close to $400 a month savings for my wife.
Oh, that's great.
Good for you, Robert. Way to do your homework.
Well, let's redo the kitchen, Robert. Let's blow it in the kitchen.
Good luck to you. Thank you so much. Real quickly, Doreen has a credit card debt question, and I think we all have these. Hey, Doreen.
What's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I are in our 60s, and we have $10,000 credit card debt.
Okay.
We're both not working. My husband had to retire medical, and I'm not working. $26,500 is our income. Do we refinance to get our credit card debt paid off, or do we take out a personal loan and pay our credit card debt off?
What do you have against the house? How much do you owe on the house?
About $100,000.
And what's the house worth?
I would say maybe about $160,000, $70,000.
Okay, and you only have $26,000 a year in income, right?
Right, about $26,500.
Any type of retirement funds?
Yes.
How much do you have in retirement?
About $64,000.
$64,000. Okay, well, what we could do is we could take a look at possibly rolling your $10,000 into your current loan. What do you have on your first mortgage now?
About $100,000.
I'm sorry, my bad. What are you, on the $10,000, what's the $10,000 costing you a month? I apologize. Bad question.
Oh, no problem. Well, I can't say for sure, but I'm borrowing on credit cards to pay for groceries. So
all right, that's not good. Okay, so what's the rate of your mortgage right now?
3.75%.
15-year or 30-year?
30.
All right, so what we have to do is you're in a tough spot. So it's going to take more than the 2 minutes I have left here before they hit a break at the bottom of the hour. So if you give Jasmine, your phone number, Doreen, I'll call you after the show. But we got to rearrange some financial furniture there because using your credit cards to pay for your food is not the most optimal thing in the world, okay?
Right, I know.
But yeah. I promise to call you off the air when I leave the studio, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Jasmine will pick you up. There you go.
All right, Doreen, get Doreen's number. The phones don't seem to be working. I can't put her on hold. Do you see the magic of him, though?
You're like Doug Henning. You're our generation's Doug Henning.
Who's he?
Magician.
Oh, all right. Okay. David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. How do people reach you?
Very simple. You go to WGN. How old are you?
Six.
Okay. WGNDavid.com. That's WGNDavid.com. Or you could call us 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
No chiropractors.
No. I love chiropractors.
Well, all right.
I love chiropractors.
Glad to hear that.
At 312-751-1333. They just don't qualify, unfortunately, for this 100% program.
It's a miscarriage of justice, in my opinion.
Take it up with the court. 312-751-1333 or go to WGN David. And as always, thank you for the opportunity to talk with your borrowers, talk to your listeners and help them. Financial situation.
Thank you, David. Goodbye. A quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are graced with the presence of one Patrick McDonald in the studio.
That's as good a theme song as any for me.
It says it all, doesn't it?
It does.
Patrick, plug your website, plug your tours, let people know where they can find you.
HollywoodChicago.com. I got a nice preview of the Chicago International Film Festival today and also an interview with Mimi Plouché, who's a new artistic director. ChicagoFilmTour.com, 312-593-4455. We'll definitely be running this weekend with the International in town, which is starting tonight.
Outstanding.
Yes.
The biggest story in show business in the movie world is certainly Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Did you see this coming at all? Is this a total shock to you? When did you realize, there's trouble for this guy?
Well, what was interesting was the way the timeline and the way the story broke. You know, it was the dogged determination of the New York Times that brought this story to light. Now, when you see a headline that says Hollywood mogul involved in harassment, your first reaction is, well, duh, you know, because that's just the business. But I like how it's built up. I like that it's become a national conversation because it should be. And if it takes somebody that slimy to do it, I think it exposes a lot of the ills of the show business world.
Bill had mentioned something earlier, and I believe it. This is just the icing on the cake. I believe a lot of moguls are going to be exposed, so to speak.
Well, we were just talking before we went on the air about Louis B. Mayer and how in those days they used to get away with a lot more because of the, you know, societal structure that they had in those days. And it was... they called them 6 month girls. They would sign women up for 6 months who were good looking.
With no intention of putting them in movies.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah. So. Louis B. Mayer is one of the M's in the MGM logo.
Yes, they're very good.
From there. All right. So back then in the golden years of Hollywood, they had entire groups of people whose job it was to clean up.
Yes.
If somebody made a mistake, whether it was the head of a studio or an actor, their job was to come in and Harvey Keitel it and scrub it and make it clean.
Right. Wolf. Yeah, a very famous incident involved Clark Gable. He there was a couple things with Gable, but he actually was involved in an accident where he was driving drunk and killed somebody. So they had to clean that up. And also his involvement with Gone with the Wind had to do with settling his marriage at the time so he could be free to marry Carol Lombard. So this is not new stuff. This is just everything old is new again.
But do movie companies still have that? Is there a branch of every movie company or some movie companies where there's somebody whose job it is to fix the mistakes of the people who work for the company?
I think in any multi-million dollar commerce area, there are the goon squad,
yeah.
Whether they're lawyers or send lawyers, guns, or money.
Yep.
You know,
is it possible for him, for Harvey Weinstein, to rebound from this, or is he done forever?
That's a good question. I think at this point in his career, he may be done forever.
Really?
I mean, you know, one of the things that really bothered me, he's 55 years old, okay? And he...
I thought he was older.
Yeah, he looks older. But he said, well, I was thinking about 60s and 70s
the
mentality.
Culture he grew
I'm
up
like,
in.
Well, you were a kid and a teenager.
Right.
That's no excuse.
No. No.
I mean, you know, I grew up exactly in those times. I was not,
right.
You know, that was the second wave of feminism.
Right.
You know, Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs, you know, talk about a national discussion there. We were just talking about that movie a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Go see that movie. That'll show you some historical context,
you know,
about the 1970s.
So the public has a very short memory for things like this. You can find dozens of people who you go, oh, I don't know if this person will ever work again, and then they do.
Yeah.
But he may not be one of them.
This
huh?
is too
right.
big, don't
this
you
is
think?
Huge. Yeah.
It's poisoning the well.
Yeah.
And that's really what's different about this.
Also, we're seeing stars now say, oh, that guy, I'll use a couple of names here, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Russell Crowe. Those guys were in on this and knew it and did nothing. So just by nature of the fact that they were connected, I don't know about their working relationship.
It's going crazy. I mean, Rose McGowan called out Ben Affleck on Twitter, and now she was banned from Twitter for it. So I don't know what's going on. I mean, there's some power plays going on right now that we have no idea about. And
what about these actors who knew? I'll use Brad Pitt as an example.
Yes.
Brad Pitt at the time was dating Gwyneth Paltrow,
yes.
who had a couple of instances, negative instances with Harvey Weinstein. He still worked for him. He still made movies with him even after he knew this.
But as a boyfriend, he went up and physically threatened him,
yes,
apparently.
He did.
And,
yeah.
You know, I think Harvey got the idea, even though he was a mogul at the time, you know. Another aspect of this is that, you know, people in show business is such a tough business. Any connection that you get to get up to the next level, you're going to carefully nurture. And besides, you know, what Weinstein did as far as his harassment, what level below that did he do? You know, just marginalizing.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's tough to be a woman in any kind of show business, I'm sure, Wendy.
Well, and, I mean, even starting in radio, it's like, hey, who'd you have to do something to get your job? It's like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
You can't just
be on the merits of your own skill.
No.
Somebody would assume.
I think that's changed.
Right. Right.
But definitely in the motion picture business.
Right.
I mean, we talked about this too before, Bill.
Yeah.
I look back at these old actresses. Natalie Wood was a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
But Marilyn Monroe, was she that great of an actress?
Well, she readily admitted to being a casting couch person, mm-hmm. you know, to get to where she got. Now, her stardom was based a lot on timing. But if you see some of the... You know, like Niagara or The Misfits. I mean, you can see Monroe as an actor, and she was serious about it. But
Some Like It Hot.
Yeah, Some Like It Hot.
Movie,
she's amazing in that. A very great comedic piece.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. A bunch of new movies, ton of new movies opening this weekend. Patrick McDonald is here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Patrick McDonald is here from TVShowPatrol.com. A bunch of new movies, Patrick.
Yes.
We get to as many of them as we possibly can. Why are they all opening at the same time? What's going on?
Well, Oscar season has started with a vengeance this weekend. We're getting a lot of the films that are considered, you know, award-worthy, as they do in the fall, which is, it's kind of disappointing that films are marketed like this. I think we're getting kind of away from that. I saw trends this year where they're putting award-worthy films within the summer and spring season.
The thought process is our minds won't retain something we saw in the summer. We have to have seen it in October, November, or December for us to remember it for the Academy Awards.
Right. And, you know, but we saw Beguiled over the summer, which I think still will have some legs to the award season. We'll see.
Oh, yeah?
But opening tomorrow is Marshall, and that will also open the 53rd Chicago International Film Festival tonight with the big red carpet and all that. The stars will be out there. Chadwick Boseman, who plays Thurgood Marshall in one of his early trials, and he eventually came on to be the first African-American Supreme Court Justice, and that happened 50 years ago this very month in 1967. So this is sort of a celebration of Thurgood Marshall. The performances are great. Josh Gad plays the attorney who kind of is in front of Thurgood doing the trial while he's behind him, as
Sterling
they did
K.
in those
Brown.
Days. Sterling
Love
K.
Him.
Brown.
From, he's so good.
Yeah,
from
and
this
he plays the Joseph Spell, who is being prosecuted. 1941, Greenwich, Connecticut, and 3 out of 5 because I think this is shown through the lens of today rather than kind of giving us an idea of what society was like back then. I think 42, the Jackie Robinson story, did a good job of doing that.
Which also starred
Chadwick Boseman, and he also played James Brown in Get On Up.
Yeah.
So he is the bio guy, and he's doing a great job. 3 out of 5 for Marshall. Professor Marston and the Wonder Women. This is the year of Wonder Woman, and this is another movie, except this is the true story of the creation of Wonder Woman, or based on the true story. William Moulton Marston was the guy's name who created Wonder Woman, and he was a early practitioner of free love. Yes, free love, my friends. His wife and mistress lived with him. Apparently, they practiced some kind of kinky stuff, which went into the Wonder Woman comic eventually. Hmm. Now, this is an erotic tale that isn't particularly erotic, which I felt it needed a little more tension, you know, a little more of that je ne sais quoi. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 as well.
Who is this
movie?
But
it's very well performed again.
Who is it marketed toward? Because a lot of people brought their daughters to see Wonder Woman.
Wow.
And then you see that in the title and you go, well, this is a sequel to Wonder Woman, but no.
Yeah, I can't wait till that is when the whips and chains come out. Let's see what eyes get covered in the theater. Yeah, this is a hard R. You know, they're showing what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, I guess, for adults if you want to know the origin of Wonder Woman, which is an amazing story. I just don't think they properly put it up there. I don't know. It's with Luke Evans, who was Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, and then Rebecca Hall, who's amazing.
Oh, she's good.
I just love her. And then Bella Heathcote plays the younger mistress. So those are the three.
And Chadwick Boseman is Wonder Woman in this?
Yes,
he's that good. What is the Florida Project?
The Florida
I know
Project.
That's coming up.
This looks really good.
This is my film of the weekend. This is a study of the hidden homeless. The people who have to weekly go into those hotels and say, here's my money. I get another week. I get another week. I get another week.
Yeah.
And these hotels are around Disney World. So it's set, you know, right around Disney World here. Willem Dafoe plays the hotel manager, and he plays him with kind of a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But he's in a difficult situation. He still has to turn these people out when they're not paying. So it centers on a little girl and her mother. The mother is played by Bria Venati, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But she's amazing in it. She plays probably had this baby when she was 16 and has nowhere else to go. The girl is played by Brooklyn Prince, who is just sensational.
Yeah.
7-year-old dynamo as an actor. And just, it's so natural, it just blows you.
Did you ever see that Willem Dafoe movie where he played a guy that was kind of creepy?
Well, this is
my favorite one.
And this is the guy, Sean Baker, the director who did Tangerine. Do you know about Tangerine?
Oh, I've heard of that,
where he shot the whole thing on an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, I did it sort of as a publicity stunt because I did interview him. He said, I did it as a publicity stunt, and suddenly I'm the go-to guy for the iPhone. But I said, man, what a great idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a couple of big release movies that you have not seen.
I don't know,
were they not screened or you just were
too busy? It was just with the busyness of this week. It's just crazy. Happy Death Day. That's from Blumhouse, you know, who did The Purge and Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
That's going to be your Halloween film, apparently. It's like a Groundhog Day for killing. Jessica Roth plays a woman who wakes up every day on her birthday only to get murdered and start the process again.
Well, that would suck. Yeah, it's bad enough to get murdered once.
Every day. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
What an interesting idea. And then, of course, The Foreigner with Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah.
And the director is a guy that Brosnan had worked previously on a Bond film. So Chan plays a London businessman with a past that erupts when his daughter is killed in a terrorist incident. And Brosnan is the police official.
There's martial arts somewhere in the movie, I'm guessing, right?
There'll be a...
There would have to be.
But, you know, I from the early reviews, I've been seeing that Chan really plays it a little darker, which he started with The Karate Kid, played a little darker character there, and now he's taking it in the second part of his career to another level. So
I played softball with him once.
Very good.
Was he nice?
He was so nice.
He seems like he would be.
He was so nice. They did
good
a
softball player?
Did you use the bats as... fighting?
No, there was no fighting. Darn. He had never played softball before, so we had to teach him how to play, and he wasn't very good at it, but when he left, he had to leave early. He went up to each player on both teams and bowed and shook their hands.
Amazing.
It was the most...
He seems really sweet.
He was an incredible guy.
Yeah, he really is.
Patrick, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Plug again the website.
Yes, chicagofilmtour.com, 312-593-4455. HollywoodChicago.com, of course, is where I do my writing. And if you're around the Chicago Film Festival next 2 weeks, say hello.
It's coming now.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Patrick. We'll take a quick break and then find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, you can join us on the stream right at 12:05. We're going to be talking to John Sebastian. I'm kind of excited. He's going to be performing at the Prairie Center for the Arts in Schaumburg on Saturday night. Of course, he formed the Lovin' Spoonful after he left them. He played at Woodstock, and he gave us a number one hit for one of our favorite TV shows.
Welcome Back, Kotter, right? That was him. He'll be joining us in just a few moments, or stay right here and listen to Steve Bertrand's Wintrust Business Lunch.
So you were one of the first people, Wendy, who I knew was a big Amazon Prime person.
Yes.
Would you give Amazon access to your house so they could deliver your packages inside? Mm-hmm. Or maybe to the trunk of your car so they could deliver it to your car?
I might do it.
That's one of the things we'll talk to Ian Scher about. He's from CNET. Dennis Rodkin will be here talking about real estate as well.
I have something to tell you before that.
Give it to me.
The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, dental institute, and their eye institute. At all of their clinics, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500, the Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare.
I have all my Amazon packages delivered there, Steve.
Ah, that's great, because they'll take them. They do everything.
Yeah.
I like it.
You would do that, huh?
I kind of might.
Yeah.
You wouldn't?
I don't know, because I wouldn't trust myself in other people's houses.